live from the baggage claim room in the regional airport at the Punta Gorda Airport in Southwest Florida. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, statesman, artist, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a fashion plate who once wore a Hawaiian flowery shirt on the cover of GQ magazine, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, are you ready? Marksman, sculptor, wily daredevil, seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who can gnaw the gristle off of a ham bone, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show. Don't hold your breath. Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yay. Great all right. Joy.
All right. I was waiting for the music to wrap up.
That's as much music as you're going to get.
Okay, well, that's fine.
So, seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion now, I noticed in the intro. You've picked one up?
Yeah. Well, I think there are probably photos of my recent accomplishment out there on the worldwide whatever.
So you got another notch on your belt is what it amounts to.
That's right. My alligator skin belt.
Some of what you're referring to is that you and I had a recent adventure in the Everglades.
That's right. We did deep in the Everglades.
I know. You know, we actually were driving down to a fan boat place and in the process saw an alligator by the side of the road that we were tempted to lasso and bring into play.
Right. But what was blowing my mind was then, you know, later, so we're just driving around on a public road. I was driving down through the Everglades. The alligators are everywhere.
Well, that's a funny thing. When you talked about the Everglades, you're saying, I expect to see alligators everywhere I look. I said, well, it's not that way.
That's not the way it is. Except, you don't know anything about Florida.
It was the way it was, though. You know, it astonished me the number of ginormous alligators that there were.
Yeah, and that got me thinking.
There's something new and different.
You know, people eat alligator. Alligator tail is supposed to be delicious.
Right.
And, you know, there are different parts of it. And I saw enough alligators to feed the homeless.
Feed the hungry.
To feed everybody.
And, you know, the thing about these alligators is they're not endangered.
No.
There's no reason at all not to be out there just dragging them in and slicing them up.
When you think about it, the Everglades is just crawling with ready to process meat. You've got alligators coming out your ears, and they've got these, pythons.
Yeah, they're a big thing down there, too. And they're supposed to be delicious.
That are out of control and edible, and iguanas.
Now, I've never eaten an iguana.
I haven't either, but did you ever watch the movie Crocodile Dundee?
Yeah, does he eat an iguana?
He eats iguana.
Well, I guess he'll be done.
You're hooking up an iguana, and you ask the girl, how you like your iguana?
Well done.
I would. Anyway.
But you know the thing about these alligators that we saw is that some of them were huge, like 15 feet of alligator.
Oh, yeah, they were man-eaters.
Just along the side of the road. You know, it's one thing. You know, you're driving along southern Illinois, and there's deer along the side of the road. You don't expect them to kill you unless they jump out in front of your car.
Right. But if you walked down and like, tried to touch one of these alligators, say, on the nose or something like that, it could eat you.
Oh, easily. And, you know,
not right away.
You know, we got out and walked along the edge of the road. But, you know, you start thinking about the fact that there's nothing that stops one of them from just, like, flying up the bank and having at it, yeah?
Yeah, they can run pretty fast. The other thing is we were walking along the edge of this canal looking at all the alligators on the other side, but I'm assuming that the alligators are spread out evenly and there's an equal amount on the side we were walking on.
Oh, you know, that never crossed my mind that there might have been alligators on our side of the canal. Well, that's interesting to think about, isn't it?
Yep.
Topic. So you say you got a topic, do you? We're going to talk about...
Not necessarily, but if you watch the video that I sent you, or that I suggested that you watch. The one that's gone viral on the internet of this bitty monkey that walks...
Oh, the monkey that walks on stilts. I saw that.
And it's not like they're like stilts and he's like 4 inches off the ground. They're like 6 foot high stilts, and it's a little tiny monkey, and he climbs to the top of them and just walks around just as simple as can be. Like he was born to walk on stilts.
Well, he probably was. You know, it's interesting to think about monkeys and stilts in the fact that somebody taught that monkey to do that, right?
Yeah, but, okay, I was thinking about that. And, you know, you've heard the term monkey see, monkey do. So some guy walked around on the stilts, so the monkey wanted to. So they made him his own little set of stilts, and he just did what he saw other creatures doing.
You think that's the way that played? I think it's more along the lines of the guy had a monkey, and he just like had like one of those shock collars that he put on like dogs to keep him from barking, and gave him a button to push every so often until he walked on stilts.
But how would the monkey have the slightest idea of what to do unless it saw some other creature walking around on
it? Well, you think there's going to be
two sticks laying on the ground, and you're going to shock this monkey until he grabs them and starts walking on them?
No. Have you ever walked on stilts?
I have. Now, what you got to be...
I'm not talking about the stilts that drywall painters use or drywall guys use when they're putting up drywall. I'm talking about real stilts.
Two poles with like a foot place, and then you walk around them. And I have done that. But what you have to be careful with, I'm trying to explain this to you, Rick, because I do have experience in this department, is you have to make sure you have like a rubber stopper on the bottom of your stilts so that when you hit a smooth surface, you don't just out and down you go.
No, you mean like for old people with a cane on their, or a cap on their cane. So did you fall flat on your face?
And Rick?
Yeah.
From your point of view, who are the old people left?
Huh?
I'm saying that if you're standing on top of the mountain, you're only looking down.
You call me old? I don't have to use a cane. Yet. If I did, it would just be to shake at kids on the lawn. Get off my lawn, kids.
Get off my lawn.
It makes you wonder what else you could teach a monkey to do, doesn't it?
You've been an urbanite almost your entire life, with the exception of your days on the farm. Have you ever had to chase a kid off your yard? Get off my lawn, ever?
Well, I had to chase some dogs off the lawn.
Okay.
But I didn't have a cane. I just went out and told them to get lost, and they did.
All right.
What I was asking, though, about the monkeys and walking on stilts. If you can teach a monkey to walk on stilts, I would think you could teach him to do darn near anything. Like make the bed.
Have you seen those videos of, like, the little electric cars, and they put a monkey in your little electric car, and you drive all over?
Well, I know, but it's not useful, is it?
No. I see what you're saying. If you could own a monkey that could cut down on your workload.
Well, here's the thing. I had four kids.
You're going to put an apron on it, and it's going to do your dishes.
I had four kids that I would have do all these chores and stuff around the house, and they've all moved out and are gone. So it just seems to me like maybe, you know, having a monkey might be a handy thing to replace the children.
Wasn't there a Far Side cartoon where a guy had a brain bear at the circus, you know, like riding a bicycle and juggle and stuff? And then when it came home, vacuuming and doing the dishes.
I believe that. So like when Sarah, you know, says, Alan, I want you to take the trash out. You just snap your fingers a couple times and say, monkey, get the trash. Well, she'd still sit still for that, wouldn't she?
Sarah would sit
still. Sarah would probably love to have a trained monkey to do whatever she says.
Somewhere in some year, some night, in the middle of the night, that monkey's going to eat my face off.
Did you catch that line I said that your wife would love to have a trained monkey to do whatever she said?
Need another one.
That's the direction the wind was blowing there. I was hoping you were getting that.
I just wanted to steal your glory on that one.
You did a good job.
Okay.
We interrupt your program to bring you a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. In the event of an actual emergency, you would have been given directions to proceed 2 miles along McGregor Boulevard. In 400 feet, use the left two lanes to turn left onto Highway X-10 Skyline Parkway. Continue on Skyline Parkway for 4.5 miles. There is a stalled vehicle on your right. In 1,000 feet, use the right lane to take exit 143 Houck Street, angling slightly to your right. Turn right on Houck Street. Proceed on Houck Street to the third stoplight, redirecting. In 200 feet, take a U-turn, then an immediately right into the 7-Eleven. Go in and ask for directions to your destination. This is only a test. We now return to regular broadcast.
Okay. Are we done with the monkey?
We're done with the monkey.
Okay, let me move to another animal.
All right. I'd love to hear another animal story.
Okay, cats.
What about it? Cat?
Have you ever had a house cat?
I would not live in a house that had a cat living in it. You have, I know you have. Strictly a dog person.
We had a cat for like the first 15 years of our marriage.
Yeah, and it was a big mean cat, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It ruled the house.
That made you come in third in that household, didn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Fourth. Fifth. It liked me when it wanted something, and it usually kind of terrified Sarah. You know, I'd chase her up the stairs, and when my oldest daughter was a little girl, she would try and play with the cat, and you know, I'd come home from work, she'd have like a scratch on her from trying to play with the cat.
You know, that's dangerous. You get diseases from that, being attacked by a cat. Cat scratch fever.
The youngest daughter came along. She didn't tolerate the cat. You know how you get the little cardboard tube out of a roll of paper towels?
Yeah.
Well, that was her only toy. And she used it as a weapon against the cat. Not tolerate the cat.
Well, it'll just be good practice for when she's married, won't it?
No, yeah. Only it won't be a cardboard tube. It'll be a rolling pin.
Yeah, exactly. Or a frying pan. Iron frying pan. It's good for that, too. Hey, I've got a commercial to read.
What?
Commercial?
In like do we have time for a commercial?
Yeah, do we have time for a commercial?
Let me finish this thought, and then we'll have a commercial.
All right. Finish your thought.
In old movies, was it you know, in insinuated that wives used rolling pins or frying pans to
beat their husbands?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there must have been some, it must have been based in some reality somehow.
Well, I mean, I think it's based on the context that these are potential weapons in the kitchen, but why wouldn't you just use a big chef's knife?
Or a pistol.
Or a gun, but, you know, not everybody has a gun in the kitchen.
And you don't necessarily want to kill your husband, you just want to. Wanted to get his attention.
Oh, okay. All right. Now you can go to commercial.
All right. Here's commercial. Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Round Brown Pellets in a Clear Bag Breakfast Cereal. Tired of paying premium prices for cereal when what you're really paying for is a fancy smancy box, trademarked cartoon mascots, and a lot of high-priced television advertising? Well, folks, put your checkbooks away. Next time you're in the grocery store in the cereal aisle, stoop down to the bottom shelf and grab a bag of Round Brown Pellets in a Clear Bag breakfast cereal. not exactly Cocoa Puffs, but surely a distant cousin. Whether or not they taste like Cocoa Puffs, once they're in a bowl of your favorite breakfast milk, they'll sure look like Cocoa Puffs. Get yours today. Round brown pellets in a clear bag breakfast cereal.
Okay, that has existed for a long time.
The brown pellets.
It's called Bran Buds, and they are these little brown pelletized cereal that have been, you know, that came out of some extruding machine, and all it says on the box is Bran Buds. As plain as it comes, and I mean, it looks like livestock feed.
Like rabbit pellets? Oh, I see. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about those pellets used to feed the hogs.
Yeah, like hog feed.
Yeah.
Well, they also make, you know, horse feed and cow feed and stuff that are the small extruded pellet-like. But Bran Buds, that's what it is, man.
So have you reached the stage of your life now where you're comfortable just grabbing the bag of cereal off the bottom shelf without any regard as to who made it or what's actually in it?
You know, actually, if I'm going to eat a cereal, and, you know, like, remember when we were kids and lived at the farm?
Kaboom.
The cabinet had the cereal in it, and there might be five or six different types of cereal.
Yeah.
And you'd choose, you know, whichever one you thought you liked best or whichever one you assumed was the freshest. and you'd eat that. And we would go through phases of, you know, the things we like. But I'm to the point in my life where I eat the same cereal all night. I eat Cheerios.
Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios, is the number one cereal in America.
Is it really?
It is, absolutely. That's 100% true.
And if I don't eat that, I eat oatmeal.
Wow, what an old man you are. You know, you're an adult now, right? Kind of. You have...
Chronologically, I am, yes.
And you have, compared to when you were a teenager, you have substantially more money available to you, correct?
Yeah, I guess.
There's nothing that stops you from going into the grocery store and buying Lucky Charms and Frosted Flakes and Corn Pops and all sorts of sugary, sweet, delicious cereals, and yet you opt for the old man cereal.
I don't want to die.
It's just, you're going to die someday anyway. It doesn't, you know, it's not going to depend on which sugary cereal you eat or not. You might as well enjoy breakfast, man.
Well, yeah, but the choice of your cereal might expedite that process. I know what the ultimate end is, but, you know, there's no rush. Okay, can I finish?
So, like, wait. Do you drop a bag of prunes on your cereal, too?
No.
Have you ever eaten a prune?
Yeah, I have. Years and years ago.
But you're not eating them now, like to help your digestion or anything like that?
No.
All right, go ahead with whatever lie you were about to tell.
Okay. All right. I was trying to get back to the cat story. You know, like, yeah, we had a cat in our house. And a lot of people like cats. I think dogs are still the most popular pet in the United States.
As well as should be.
Cats are second.
Maybe.
But did you know that we have a relative who is a cat owner? And her sons bought her a motorized, computerized cat litter box.
Well, other than a collect cat droppings, what else does it have to do?
Okay, well, what this does, it sends a message to your phone to let you know that the cat is using the cat box.
Uh-huh. And why do I need to know that? Shouldn't it just do that automatically?
It will also tell you not only when the cat is using the cat box and when it's finished using the cat box, but it also notifies you when the cat box needs to be changed.
Yeah, again, I'm thinking that people who...
just your phone.
If somebody owns
a... You know how much this computerized cat box costs?
No.
$400.
You see, I got to think that if someone owns a cat, they pretty much know that every single day the cat's going to go in that litter box, and that after a certain number of days, when you can't stand the smell anymore, that you're going to empty it out. I mean, what, you actually need a some sort of sensor to tell you that cat's gone, and that, you know, that there's a gigantic surprise that the cat has emptied its insides out into a litter box. I mean, you know, that's what it does every day.
The reason they did this is because their mother keeps the cat in the basement, and they don't want their mother going down into the basement to change the cat box. So they have this $400 cat box that will send them a message when the cat is using it and when it needs to be changed, so that she won't go down and change it, and one of them will come to her house then and change the cat box.
Again, couldn't they just every day go check the cat box at the same time?
Well, here's the complicating factor. This $400 computerized cat box, the cats won't use it.
That's just too good, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know what it is, if it's, you know, like the newness of the cat box, or the cat feels that its privacy is being invaded, or, you know, what is going on here that the cat won't use this high-dollar cat box?
Well, for one thing, it's a cat, so it's not very intelligent to start with. You know, you can't really train a cat. Here's my question. So this cat is just left down by itself in a dark basement, like, all day and all night? I mean,
I think there's a light on down there, and it's got like some kind of an automatic feeder that releases food and water at a particular time, you know, also automated.
Well, wouldn't this cat become feral at some point?
Well, feral means that it's running wild outdoors. But,
well, wouldn't this be running wild indoors? I mean, it would be, you're taking a cat and you're putting it in a dark basement and just leaving it down there all day long without any human companionship.
The basement's dark.
Oh, it's a basement.
Okay. Just because that's how you treated your children doesn't mean people treat their cats that way.
I guess I'm thinking of like our cellar at home when we were growing up. You know,
yeah.
You put a cat or something, leave it down there all day long.
The cellar in the house that we grew up in was like a medieval dungeon.
Oh, the cellar there? Yeah, back in the days when Mom would actually can stuff. You remember, put like wax paraffin on top of the whatever it was she made, and then put it down in the basement. And instead of refrigerating it, it would just be stored down in the root cellar.
Okay. The entire time we were growing up, I don't remember anyone ever referring to it as the root cellar.
Well, it's it's a cellar.
Okay.
Well, I was trying to make it relevant to Joe Blow out there, who probably had a root cellar and would understand what we're talking about if I referred to a root cellar.
I'm guessing that 95% of the people alive today do not refer or have ever made a reference to a lowest level of their home as being the root cellar.
How come they referred to it as a root cellar, do you know?
Why did they refer to it as a root cellar?
Yes.
Because you put your root vegetables down there, like your potatoes and your onions and your rutabagas and carrots and stuff like that, to store them during the winter and eat them as the season went on.
And they wouldn't rot down there.
That's right.
Not much, anyway.
A cool, dry place.
Yeah, but you know, I've put potatoes like in the closet, in a dark closet, and forgot about them for a long time. And I got to tell you, they went bad.
Rick?
Yeah.
Why were you storing potatoes in your closet?
Well, because you're supposed to put potatoes when you get a bag of potatoes. You're supposed to put them someplace dark so that they keep longer. But apparently they won't keep, like, you know, 8 or 10 months. You know, we had that.
So they're in your closet and everybody just assumed they were your shoes? Making that smell?
I think it was more along the lines of, you know, at some point we reached the part of life where we started having the conversation, you know, the kitchen really smells. What is it that smells in the kitchen? And finally, you deal with that long enough that you just decide, by God, I'm going to find out what it is. And that means I'm going to actually clean the closet out all the way down to the bottom and see if I can figure this out. I thought it was going to be mice, you know. It turns out that there was that bag of potatoes that we bought like 6 months before, and they had gone bad in the closet, and someone had thrown like baseball gloves and old shoes on top of them.
Okay, are you using the same term here for pantry? Are you calling your pantry a closet?
No, this was just the closet.
Putting potatoes in with your clothes.
Well, I didn't hang them up on a hanger with the clothes. I put them on the floor in the bottom of the closet. It was the closet where you would hang your coats when you came in from the house at wintertime. It wasn't where you were hanging your fine suits and stuff, your fine red suit. So like
you did this in like the mudroom or entry point.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a perfect place to put your bag of potatoes. It's just that we forgot about them. Potatoes fell into the category that one of those things that you would buy, you know, like lettuce or tomatoes or whatever that you put in your refrigerator thinking you were going to eat healthy, and they just end up going bad and you'd throw them away. Well, the potatoes were in the closet and we didn't notice them. And in the refrigerator, when that stuff finally gets rotten, you just throw it away. But the potatoes, we forgot about them. What?
All right. Remind me to never eat potatoes at your house.
I'm guessing you don't eat potatoes anywhere, do you? Have you ever eaten a raw potato?
A raw potato?
Yeah, just pick up a potato and eat it.
Who would do that?
I've done that. They're not bad. You get those little yellow potatoes, man. You can pick them up and you can eat them. You can eat them like an apple.
I can't even eat mashed potatoes with lumps in them, much less a raw potato. Good God.
Yeah, but you don't have to bother cooking them or anything. They're just ready to go, potato-wise.
I can't do that. Rick?
What?
We're out of time.
That just seems impossible, doesn't it? Well, we've given the people a lot to chew on in this episode.
Okay, a lot to chew on. Got it.
See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
Been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Jim's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drop. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for Cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes. You know, because there aren't any.